Father, we thank you for this
time.
Oh, Lord, what a glorious day. This is Easter morning, 2015, and Father, we thank you for this day.
Praise you, Lord.
We've been many, many thousands of years getting to this day, Father, and we celebrate this day today with great joy as family, as friends, especially surrounded by your word, Lord.
Yes, God.
Feeding on the precious word of God. Thank you for this time today, Lord. Thank you for revelation, knowledge of your word.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters and other churches as they gather in.
Yes, Lord.
Well, Father, I give a special thanks for Ken and Wang Bruner, who have been on the streets of Hong Kong with International Commission for the last couple of weeks. Ken preached Easter last night, Lord, Easter Sunday morning services.
Lord.
I thank you, Father, for that service
and
for all that you're doing there in that town and community.
Yes, God.
Thank you for those that go to the streets and the highways and the byways and
tell
them a glorious story. Thank you, Father, for each one of them. We pray for Vineyard Christian Center and
with
John that was here during this week, a young man, and his efforts yesterday as he reached out in the university there. Thank you for these men that do that, young people on fire for Jesus.
Thank
you, Father, for the word we're about to receive right here, right now.
Yes, God.
We open our ears to hear. And we'll be attentive to your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, never, never. I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name,
amen.
Glory to God, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Amen. We've been talking about fruit naturally, and we are moving towards another series, but probably in a couple of weeks, but last week we started talking, this particular section has been on recognizing the fruits of righteousness and the fruits of unrighteousness. And we started talking about righteousness itself, what it is, last week. I'm going to continue at least this week, maybe the next week on it, depends on how far we go, because we need to understand what righteousness and holiness is.
Amen.
We tend to think we know, but we really do. There is a definite difference. And we want to look at that a little bit more. Let's see where I was at. Here we go. I mentioned last week that righteousness and holiness are not the same thing. And then we went into several scriptures, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:20 through 26. We talked about those, Romans 5:8 through 10, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Get down there, got here. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Romans 8:29 through 30. And 1 John 4:17, 1 John 3:2, Isaiah 3:10-11, Proverbs 11:30, Psalm 92:12-15, Hebrews 4:12 is where we stopped. The reason I put those in there so somebody that gets just this can track it, okay, without teaching over again. Today let's start in Romans 5:17. There is one more statement I want to remind you of. We mentioned last week that holiness, as I said, is not the same thing as righteousness. Holiness flows out of righteousness. You are made right, and then holiness is the life of righteousness that you walk. Once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we walk a holy life by choice. Or we walk holiness by choice, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as we make our choices to walk right with God.
Amen.
And we do that by walking the love walk and walking His
Word.
That causes us to walk a holy life that maintains our righteous life with God. Now Romans 5:17. For it is because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death, reigned through that one. Think about that. One man. It's his fault. No, we're guilty too. But, you know, he did what was wrong. It's Adam. So because of Adam, that one man's trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigned. Why? Why just one man? because God had given Adam the authority over this earth. He had granted him to be the small g God of this world. He granted him full authority in this earth, and that has not changed. But when Satan came along, he deceived Adam and Eve, and they partook of his deception, which caused them to separate from God. That is the issue that we've been dealing with for centuries. Adam, by his choice, he had free will choice the same we do, same way we do. He made that choice. For whatever reason, whatever was going on in their minds, there was a separation that took place, and that was the death. Separation from God is is real death. You are a spirit. You will live eternally. No matter heaven or hell, you will always exist.
Hallelujah.
Always. There's never a time when you will not exist.
That's right.
But death came from separation from God. That's what real hell is.
Amen.
Eternity separated from God. As I think about that a lot, because I know that they can see that great love of God right there. Can you imagine knowing completely with no hindrances, fully knowing the great love that God has for you individually? The complete sacrifice that he paid for you, and then go to hell. We think about fire and brimstone and all other stuff, but that's hell.
Yeah.
Eternal separation. That's what they call real death. Now that's what happened to Jesus. We celebrated Good Friday. We're celebrating the resurrection. Every time I go to Easter, I think about that. There was a small space period where Jesus and God the Father were not one.
He had to taste that death for every man.
He had to taste hell. In order to get in there, he had to have a disguise on. His disguise was our sin. Mm-hmm. The Amplified says it that way. He put on the guise of sin. What's a guise? It's a disguise. Mm-hmm. He put on our sin, exchanged his righteousness and holiness, his right standing with God, for our sin. That's what happened on the cross. He took all sin, not just those standing in front. All sin, the entire amount of time that will ever be. He became sin, the word says. Put that on. And Satan didn't know that he didn't sin. For some reason, he knew the Father had turned his back on the Son. He knew that. He was 100% alone. Think of that. I can't go through Easter without thinking about that. Here's Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 100% one from there was no beginning. They've always been that way. And now, because of us, there is a time when Jesus took off that glory and kingship and came here to earth to walk with you and I as a man, because that's the only way he could have paid our price. No other way. A man had to pay or Adam's sin, because Adam was a man. He was 100% separated. He was acknowledging the separation. The whole entire curse of the law, the curse against mankind, the entire cost of Adam's separation from God, all hung on that tree. I can't imagine that. I can't fathom that, but that's what the Word says. And when you meditate on it long enough, and you pray over that, the Holy Spirit will keep revealing more and more there of the great cost. I can't imagine that. But there was a time, I've mentioned it before, in heaven there where there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden Jesus is gone. Now there's only Father and Son. And then the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Now there's Father. And what do you think was going on in heaven? They're still connected. But what do you think? Well, the angels don't know what's going on. They had no idea what's going on. All of a sudden, did Jesus do something wrong? Did he get kicked out? How come he's down there? You know? And they're watching all of this. They don't know what's going on. Here's Jesus without... He's walking as a man now. All he can do is the Abrahamic covenant. He can't do anything else. He can't use his Godhead authority. He could just walk in the earth as a sin-free man, but now he's subject to sin. He has to make those decisions the same way we did and do. The same decisions. He had to reject sin. He had to reject temptation. He had to, exactly the same way we do. In Hebrews it says that he was tempted with all sin, same as we are, but without sin. In other words, he did not sin. When he was sent immediately by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, he was tempted, but notice Satan waited for 40 days till he was as the weakest. Same he'll do with you. He'll watch you till you get weary. He's watching that. He approached Jesus with the same thing that he approached Adam with. Same exact thing, deception. There's no difference. He approached with deception. Okay? He's trying to deceive Jesus. So, all those temptations that he's bringing against Jesus. I like the rock, personally. Turning the rock into bread. Because if you cannot do something, it's not a temptation. So, here's Satan telling him, if you're hungry, and you're the Son of God.
Yeah, I can turn say, these, if you are.
Turn these stones into bread.
Appealed to his pride.
You know, his pride, but also his weakness and hunger. Because this is a man that was hungry, okay? But he's a Spirit-filled man. But
hallelujah.
You know, the same Holy Spirit that you and I have
Amen.
Received. The same one. And there's only one. So he's busy tempting Jesus. What did Jesus answer with? I love this thought. God showed me this about a year or so ago. He said he did not answer saying, I'm the Son of God, depart from me. I am the Word made flesh. Depart from me. He didn't do that, did he? What did he say? For it is written. That shows me the great authority in this book.
Amen.
Here's the Son of God, the Word himself, and he says it is written. And we say, well, that book was written by man. Yeah, but the Son of God himself used it as the authority. It is written. In other words, that's what he anchored his faith in.
Amen.
Jesus himself anchored his own faith and his own walk here in this earth in that word.
Amen.
Right up to the cross. He was actually speaking a psalm on the cross. That was what he was declaring. I mean, we don't know that. And many people don't know that. But he was declaring a song.
One thing good about it says none of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this.
None
right.
of it.
Jesus was going to come down and uh-huh. God was going to redeem us. He said, for if they had, they would have never crucified
him.
Yes. So who was really deceived? he took deception and put the tool back on him again.
He believes his own lies.
And that's what we need to do. We need to learn the weapons that Satan uses. We're not going to deceive, but we're going to use the truth, and he's going to deceive himself.
Right.
And that's basically what he does. He comes to us, plants a deception, and then we hang ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe the deception, see, because we're not anchored in the Word. We're not anchored in the truth of God's Word, and we don't spend any time in it during the week. We are so illiterate where God's Word is concerned. We're illiterate. And it's not God's fault. I mean, you can't turn on anything if you don't see something about God. I mean, even if you're an atheist, you're going to see it. And I think you probably see it more. Holy Spirit sees to it. But think about that walk, the great cost. Now, there's only one in heaven after Jesus gets baptized. I know they're omnipresent, but geographically or location-wise, there's one in heaven, God. But he sent not only his Son, but himself in the form of the Holy Spirit here to do this work. That's how important it is. We can't fathom the cost. We can't fathom the value that God places on you and I, the species of man. We can't imagine the tears and the heart cry in God when somebody does not accept and winds up in hell. said some of those tears that are going to be wiped in heaven are tears of Jesus, because he's going to have to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." I mean, that's the hardest day of Jesus right there, really, in my opinion. I mean, to have to say, "Depart from me, my beloved one, for I never knew you." It's not that he didn't know about you. He didn't know you. No relationship. When God walked through the garden with Adam and he cried out, "Adam, where are you?" It's not that he didn't know where he was geographically. There was no heart connection now. "Adam, you were right here. We were one. And now you're not here. Where are you?" There's a song by Don Francisco that sings that. He was great, still is, I guess he's alive. But he was a storyteller in song. And he's got a whole one on the cross and all of that. But the one that strikes me more than that is the one where he's crying out, "Adam, where are you?" That's the name of the song. And it's a heart cry of God for his man. But see, that cost God too. "Adam, where are you?" It started right there. There's never been a time when there's not been a place in God's heart and that heart cry has not been there. When he was crying out, "Adam, where are you?" "Man, where are you? You're not connected." What did the first thing out of his mouth when he talked to Satan after the fall? "There's one coming. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head." In other words, you're under his foot. He's coming. Well, Satan tried to find him all this time and couldn't find him. That's why he thought he'd won on that cross. He was so determined here. He had to stop this thing somehow, so he thought he stopped the Son of God. Can you imagine what went on in hell when Jesus got down there? Now remember, there's no Father-Son connection anymore. No Godhead with Jesus. And he's got all sin on him, which he never experienced sin before. Never experienced it at all. So he's 100% alone, separated from God, and all the sin's penalty is on him. I can't fathom that. I just know that's what took place. And here he is. I think those couple of days that Jesus was spent in hell was probably the quietest days on the earth. My own opinion. I think every demon there is was right there, beating on him. But then he got up. Can you imagine what went on? I can't fathom that either, but Carmen has a song like that, where he comes up out of there, the champion, you know? I mean, we can sing about it and fathom it just a little bit, but there's no way we'll ever properly know what took place. But we need to know. We need to know to the best of our ability why this is so important to us. What it means. If we don't know what it means, how can we ever reach a hurting world? We can't, if it's not in us first. If I know the great cost, then I know why I've got to walk this righteous life. Because I see, when I see righteousness, he made me right. That's what the word says. He made me right. When I see that in the Bible, I think that's the price. That's the heart of God. It's not a religious thing. It's something that he did that I could not do. Let's finish this in Romans 5:17. "For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Notice several words there. I talked this week about favor on Wednesday night, that it was a free gift. Here it says unmerited favor is grace. Mm-hmm. That's grace. It always identifies grace as unmerited favor. And then the free gift of righteousness. How many people work for it? You cannot walk a righteous life. You're made righteous.
That's right.
Why? Because you could not make yourself righteous.
Amen.
Being made righteous is right standing. And it's sitting right here. And it's being putting them into right standing with himself. That's what it means. When you get born again, you made the choice. I choose life. I choose you, Jesus. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Those two. You confess. Now, confession back then meant a lot more than it does today. Today we say, okay, I'll do that. Walk down the street as if nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But back then, and in some countries today, mm-hmm. when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, it means you got a target on you.
Yeah.
You got one from the devil anyways, but I mean, you got a man target on you. And it could mean your death.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in this particular case back then, you were separated not only from your family, but from your religion.
Yep.
From the thing you grew up with and you were taught. You were separated. You had to, there was a, it was in a very important thing when Paul said, you confess with your mouth, you make it known, you declare it openly, Jesus Christ is my Savior, but then he tags on Lord. Two different things. He's your Savior, made you right, but now he's your Lord, holiness.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually, the word, that's what holiness means. He's your Lord. He makes the decisions. He is the one that governs your life day by day. Where you're honorable in the people you meet. Mark's been talking a lot about forgiveness. He's your Lord. He said to forgive.
Yes.
Now, if he might be your Savior, but not your Lord. If you're unwilling to forgive, he's not your Lord in that area. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, that's what Lord means. It means that I'm coming before my Lord, and he says, commandment. Love even as I have loved you. Commandment. Now, I've got to find out how he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my command. There's not 10, there's one.
Mm-hmm.
Which encompasses all of the law and the prophets, the Bible says. You know, then that's his commandment. That's what I walk. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah. But what part of you is it uncomfortable to? It's uncomfortable to your flesh. Will people love you? Some. Depending on which way they're going. Some will not like you at all. Some will just walk up to you and they have never seen you before, but they do not like you. They don't like the Lord inside you.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit. You're issuing forth a signal that they don't like. They can't tell you why they don't like you, but they don't like you. You're making waves. Others will walk up to you and they never said anything. You never said anything to them, but there's a connection. They're connecting with that Holy Spirit inside of you. I mean, that's what's going on. And that's when you say, he's my Lord. I am automatically connected with others that have said that.
Amen.
He's my Lord. Okay? That's why I love this week, past week. Because there's a lot of things broken off.
Amen.
There's healing in the house.
Amen.
There's glory in the house.
Hallelujah.
And there's healing in the body of Christ that's been long awaited here.
Yes.
Something has changed spiritually in the city of
Allah. Yes, amen.
Now there's Holy Spirit connections going out to these other churches.
Yes, amen.
Walls are coming down. We might not see the results right now, but it's coming. It's right here because it started here. Maybe amen. Other places too. But like I said, why can't it start here?
Amen.
There's no reason it can't.
Hallelujah.
You know, only us. But this is, that's what was paid for. It's already paid for.
Yes, amen.
And we don't have to do it ourselves. We just merely have to maintain the Lordship. Where would the Father take you if there's division in the family? He would take you to the one you're divided against, wouldn't he? Because that has to be dealt with before he can bring this others to you. Oh Lord, give me peace and rest. Bless my family. Bring my health. But you got this over here. Yes, but I'll deal with that later. But I got this thing I need to deal with here. And it's an emergency. I've only got, they say, a year to live. And I deal with that over there.
Amen.
Because that's how you got where you were, where you are. I've been listening to, on YouTube. You type in Kenneth Hagin, you get thousands. He's one of my father in faith. And John Osteen. John Osteen. Not Joel. John. And I've been listening a lot of him. And he's been pointing out last night, just over and over again, he was giving examples of people in his ministry that were holding something against somebody. Some for years. They dropped it. Almost instantly they were healed.
Amen.
Because it was keeping them out of the promises of God. We don't see it. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 26, 25 and 26, in the Amplified, it says to drop it. You saw me drop my Bible here a few months ago. Just dropped it. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. It costs too much. The cost is so high, and it's an area where he's not Lord. So he can't help you there. That's why he said in John 14, 25 and 26 there, why he said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Because he can't. You, by your own choice, which he has to honor, because that's what makes us human, what makes us man. That's why Adam fell. Choice. That's how we get back. Choice. You know, that's how Jesus paid the price. Choice. That's what he did in the garden. He chose anyways. Okay? What he did on the cross when he said, it is finished, I've made my choice. You know, choice all the way through. And that's what we have to do. If we don't choose him as Lord in that area of our life that we're holding on to, then he can't help us there. And we can pray forever and not get help there. Because we're not positioned for it. Not because he's being mean and honoring, but because there's a law in operation. The only way he can bring freedom to me in any area of life is if he's Lord of that area. He has to be Lord of that area. You cannot be a temporary Christian. Not possible. Either you are or you're not. You know? And that means 100% of the time, every step you take, you filter it through the Word of God and through that Lordship.
Amen.
Okay? That's holiness. That's all holiness is. It's not a doctrine. When he said, be ye holy as I am holy, that's what he's saying. Walk my Lordship. Walk a holy life because I made you right.
Hallelujah.
I done for you what you could not do. I put you in a position so that you can walk a holy life.
Hallelujah.
I cannot walk it for you. I can't walk a holy life for you. You have to do that. But every step you take, I'm right there with you.
Hallelujah.
I'm in that step too. And I'll back your choice. But I'll also back your choice when you choose not to. See, that's what we don't get. We expect him to make us do these things, and he can't. That's what I was talking about Monday night when they said, you cannot forgive. Somebody here says, you don't know how deep it went. I cannot forgive. And then when I was thinking about that, I sat down and quiet. I thought, oh no, I messed something up. But I didn't. And neither did Mark. when I sat down there, this image came up, these two images really, this giant root. And every time that person said, I cannot, that root grew. That's the root of bitterness. I studied roots on, I had done a series on overcoming anger and offenses probably 20 years ago. And anyway, I studied, I thought, why did he say root of bitterness? Why did he say that? And why did it use the word root? So I wanted to know what a root does. So I went to the Webster, and it says it attaches to the soil and takes life out of that soil. So the root of bitterness attaches to your spirit, the real you, mm-hmm. sucks the life out of you, mm-hmm. destroys you. Strife and anger turn into bitterness if not dealt with. So that root is important to deal with. And that root, every time that person, wasn't a person. It was an image. I couldn't tell man or woman, but so it's more than one. Probably it's a general thought and maybe a teaching for me myself. I had my own opportunities. Okay? And that root just kept going like that every time they said that. The other image was similar, but it was the same person, but they had a shovel. And every time they said, "I cannot forgive," you don't know how deep it went.
It went deeper.
And the opposite happens. The hole got deeper every time they say that. And it only applied to unforgiveness. That applies to any area of your life mm-hmm. that you're unwilling to deal with. That's what's happening. And we don't see that. All we see is our carnal nature. What is it? Deception. The enemy successfully deceived you. How long ago? Maybe 20, 30 years ago. How long ago was that deception? You started meditating on it. You started walking in it. You started practicing it. It got bigger and bigger. Now it's something you cannot deal with on your own. And you can't deal with it on your own, no matter if it's in the beginning or if it's at the end. But we're not alone. See, we're not alone. He's right there with us, teaching us. But choice is involved. If I would have applied the same thing to my faith, every time that thought come up, I would have said, "Yeah, I remember that. But Father, I thank you that I have forgiven. I haven't forgot yet. I'm working on that one. But I have forgiven by you. You told me and commanded me to let it drop. So I'm letting it drop. And yeah, I'm starting to reach down here for it again. But I'm backing off of that. I reject that thought." Speak that out. "I reject you, deception. You're not deceiving me back there again. For the word says, just as Jesus said, for it is written. For it is written. I've been commanded to forgive. Now I am walking in love. I'm walking the love walk." And, "Well, yeah, but you just did that." "Okay, Father, I repent of that. Now, I'm walking the love walk." That's how quick it works. You think that's too simple. He made it simple. That's what that cross was about. 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all, not part, all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Ongoing work. So I'm going to make a couple more comments here. We're out of time. And we'll get back to this. Remember, he made us righteous by a free gift. What are we going to do with the gift? We are responsible, because of his lordship, to walk his lordship, which is holiness. He made us righteous so that we could live a holy life. It is our responsibility to live a holy life. He cannot do that for me. He was the only one that could make me righteous.
Hallelujah.
Bringing me into right standing with God.
Oh, merciful God.
He did that for me because I could not. I have to do the choosing to live the holy life.
Amen.
Lock that into, don't make it something it's not. Don't make it a holiness organization. Whatever tag you put on holiness, don't make it that. It's simply walking right with God, living out that righteousness.
Yes, amen.
If you fail, he even put a safety valve in there where you can run and say, "Father, I blew it." Don't wait to do it. Repent right then. Say, "Father, 1 John 1:9, I repent." That's not for the non-believer, it's for the believer. It's
Amen.
For us to
Amen.
Cleanse ourselves.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you may make 1,000 mistakes a day, get cleaned up 1,000 times.
Amen.
That river flows. Now, Mark said, your unforgiveness don't only affect you, it affects others.
Yeah.
So does these other sins that we do. whatever we do, wherever he's not Lord of our life, wherever we're not walking a holy life based on that lordship, that is an area we're affecting somebody else,
that's
not
right.
just us.
Oh, yeah.
We're putting a stumbling block mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for this word today. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. Thank you for the services that lie ahead.
Glory to you, Lord.
Thank you, Father,
Hallelujah.
For the, especially for those that come. Maybe this is the only time they've ever come. Maybe they've never been in the church. Maybe just once a year, whatever the case may be. Maybe they're hurt or rejected. But Lord, we pray a special presence and anointing in this house today and in the word and in the worship that will just go right into the heart of the people.
Yes, Lord.
That they can be brought back into, or maybe for the first time, enter into this blessed covenant with you. You paid the price that you could make them right. Lord, thank you that you're ready. In Jesus' name, amen.